One, I bring you greetings from Little Galilee. It is only about 38 miles from here as the crow flies, so I don't recommend taking a crow, but if you can get here pretty soon to get to camp, but it'll be great to have you all come back. Dave mentioned we had record attendance last year. We had 2,059 young people come to camp last year. That explains a little bit about the color of my hair. But then again, if you met my mom, you'd understand I come by this hair pretty honestly. But we also, and some people, when they think about Little Galilee, they think it's just for kids. And primarily, we have more kids than adults, but we had 1,180 adults come to our adult programming. So we have camps for all ages. We had 101 baptisms last year, which I believe is the eighth or ninth year in a row we have had over 100 baptisms. Because our goal is to get kids to come to camp to hear the good news about Jesus. And if they're ready to make a decision, the most important decision in the whole life is to follow Him. And we're excited about that. Our mission offering last year was just shy. And if Dave would have come through with a couple more dollars, we would have had $29,000 in mission offering. So that's just a tremendous thing to do. Last year, it was the end of April, we had a retreat for first and second graders. So these little boogers are about yay high to me. And it's the first time we had an overnight camp for first and second graders. I just wanted to try it and see if it would work, see if the kids could handle spending the night away from home. And the kids showed up on Friday night. They're all excited. And being the smart camp manager that I am, figured they already had supper. I loaded them up with cookies and Kool-Aid before they went to bed. And then the cool thing about that is, when it was bedtime, I went to our house and went to bed, and the faculty stayed in with the kids. And my understanding is, there were two little girls, sometime before they went to sleep, they got kind of weepy-eyed, kind of missing mom, missing dad, maybe missing that little brother that they fight with all the time. And they started crying. And boy, my faculty hopped right on that, because homesickness can be very, very contagious. And they got those girls distracted a little bit, sang some songs, and got them to sleep. So they came to breakfast on Saturday morning, and God gave us a beautiful spring day. I mean, it was like almost 80 degrees. It was so nice, I decided to change the plans a little bit. And after breakfast, I said, boys and girls, here's what I would like you to do. When we're done eating, I'd like you to go back with your faculty, with your leaders, to your cabins, and kind of pack up your stuff. Roll up your sleeping bag and your blanket, leave it on your bed, and then when your leader says that your cabin is done, just go right outside and play on the playground until I come over. And when I come over, we're going to take a tour of the camp. I said, we're just going to walk around the camp. It was so nice. And so I gave them about 15 or 20 minutes, and I came out, and all the boys and girls were out playing. And I said, okay, let's line up by your groups. And they all lined up. And I said, okay, we're going to walk around the camp, and I want to show you some parts of camp maybe you've never seen before. And I said, no, I want you to stay behind me. I want you to stay in your groups. And I figured the first place we're going, because it was the closest place, was Wilderness Camp. And we didn't take 10 or 15 steps, and all of a sudden I felt this little tiny hand in my hand. And I looked down, and it was this little girl. This little blonde-haired girl, missing a couple teeth. And she took my hand, and she smiled at me, and I smiled at her. And we didn't get another 10 steps, and all of a sudden, this hand. I had a little, and it was a boy. He had his teeth, though. And so we're walking to Wilderness Camp, and everybody's in line. But you know what? Kids being kids, three or four of them just started getting in front of me. They didn't know where we were going. They wanted to be there first. And I'd say, boys and girls, you need to get behind me. Get back in your group. We got to Wilderness Camp. I showed them where they would eat. I showed them where they would sleep. I described Wilderness Camp. I said, okay, let's line up in your groups, and let's take off. And I was going to take them to the swimming pool. And my little girl friend and my little boy friend had my hands, and we're going, and those same little boys got ahead of me. I said, guys, need to get back. And we got to the pool, and I said, boys and girls, do you want to go into the pool? And we had no water in the pool. You just want to go in there, and we have a ramp. I let them run around in there. And one of the boys said, if there was water in the pool, how deep would the water be? And I said, it'd be about a foot over your head. And his eyes got really big, and I said, can you swim? No. And I said, well, when you come to camp, stay on this end of the pool. Don't go over here. And so we got out, line up, got my little girl, got my little boy. We walk over to the zip line. Of course, the boys got in the break. Boys, you need to get behind me. And I showed them the zip line, talked about how they could do that when they're a little bit older, coming to camp. I took them down by the lake, and those boys were running ahead of me again. And I could get behind me. And about the fourth or fifth time that I said that, my little girl friend had it. And she turned around and she faced her friends that she had just met. And she said, with all the emphasis that a little first or second grade girl could do, she says, "Guys, we have to walk behind this old man." And then she looked at me and she smiled. And I had her hand in my hand. And I want to be honest. I was real tempted to say, "I'll show you, old man." But I didn't do that. And got him up, took him in the activity center. We finished the rest of the day. And the reason I love kids is they tell the truth. They say everything. As a matter of fact, when she said, "I'm looking for that old man," I spent the next 2 or 3 minutes looking for the old man she was talking about. But we got up there, and it reminded me of a portion of Scripture that shows me that not only do I love kids, and have kind of dedicated my life to ministering to kids through youth ministry and through being a camp manager, is Jesus loved children too. If you have your Bible, Matthew, the 18th chapter, the first 5 verses is what I kind of want to hone in on today. And talk to you all, no matter what your age is, to become more like a child. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So Jesus called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Now that was from the New International Version. Eugene Peterson's The Message, just the first verse, he translates it this way. At about the same time, the disciples came to Jesus asking, "Who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom?" And sometimes as adults, I think that's kind of what we're all about, is we want to be the most important, we want to be thought of the most. Unless you become like a little child. So what does that mean, to become like a little child? I was sitting over here during the worship service, and during the song service and the band's playing, I looked over here, and this little girl sitting here with her hand up and down, you know, just with her, whatever she was holding. And it was just the cutest thing, because she was into it. You know, she was excited about what was taking place. But what does it mean to be like a little child? To me, a little child is someone who loves unconditionally. When I was a youth minister in Mattoon, and we moved there, and we stayed for 14 years, and when our boys were young, like 5 and 2 years old, I would come home for lunch, and I pulled in the driveway, and inevitably, that back door would fly open, and my boys would come flying out the door. "Daddy's home! Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" Like it never happened. And believe me, look at me. I never missed a lunch, okay? I came back, "Daddy's home." And they would come out with their arms wide open, and they would, one of them would wrap his arms around this thigh, one would wrap his arm around this thigh, and they'd stand on my feet, and we'd come walking in the house, "Daddy's home." They were so excited. That made me feel good. Now, I realized the 4 or 5 hours I was gone, Jan had been working with them all the time, but Daddy was home. That told me, as their father, that they loved me. Now, I know my boys love me now. My boys are 40 and 38. When they see me, I don't get the same reaction. And I specifically am so glad they don't stand on my feet, because they make me look small. Okay? But children love unconditionally. Is God going to be there when I need Him? Child would say yes. Does God hear my prayers? Child would say yes. Does God love me? A child's going to say yes. You know, one of the cool things about being the manager at Little Galilee, as long as I have, is I've got to see a lot of children come to camp. From little day campers through high school campers. And occasionally, they'll write letters. And they'll write notes and send them to the camp. And I cherish those. I save those notes. And several years ago, it was January, and it was cold, and it was snowy. And my favorite time of the day at camp every day is when the mailman comes. Because I get to go out, and I get to get the mail. Which means I get to get out of the office for just a little bit, and I walk out, and I get back, and I separate our personal mail off to the side and take that home. But then I separate the bills, and I don't open them. And then I open up the letters. And I open up the checks from individuals and churches that support us. And that reminds me how special Little Galley is into their thinking. And I came out one time and I separated. It was January, cold and snow when I got back in. And I had my glasses fogged up when I walked back in the office. And I opened up a letter. And my first thought when I looked at the letter, the envelope, I thought, oh, a little girl wrote a letter. And the reason I thought it was a little girl, because they wrote Little Galley, instead of dotting the I, they did a little heart. At least I was hoping it was a girl, okay? And I opened it up, and out came a lined piece of paper like this. This isn't the actual note, but like this. And when I opened it up, two $20 bills fluttered out and landed on my desk. And this girl wrote, "Dear Ken, I love Little Galley. I cannot wait to come back to Little Galley this summer. When I got the letter from you, telling me that we were having winter retreats and I got to come to camp before summer, I was so excited. I want you to take this money and I want you to use it toward building the zip line." That was the money we were raising money for. "I can't wait to ride the zip line when it's done." And then she introduced herself to me, and she's a sixth grade girl and goes to one of our Christian churches in one of our area, and she says, "I gave you this money because I think you will use this money more wisely than I will." And she was like 11 or 12 years old. And I don't know what happened. Something got into my office. You know, my eyes kind of watered up a little bit, you know, allergy or something. And I got thinking, my first thought was, where does an 11 or 12-year-old girl get $40 anyway? And in my mind, I'm thinking, she's sneaking into mom's purse. Sneaking over to dad's billfold, getting the money. I don't know what happened, but we had $40. And so I wrote her a thank you note. Her name's Allison. And I said, "Dear Allison, thank you so much for the $40. It made my day. You said you love Little Galley. I love Little Galley too. And we're going to take your money and we're going to apply it to the zip line. And I look forward to seeing you at the retreat. Look forward to seeing you this summer." And I signed my name. And about a week later, I go out to the mailbox. Little Galley with a heart over it. And I got a thank you note from her for my thank you note. And when I opened it up, a $10 bill floated out. She says, "Oh, Ken, when I got your thank you note, it made me so happy. I showed it to my mom, and my mom started crying." I'm thinking, man, my grammar must have been terrible. And she said, "Use this money for the zip line." And can I be real honest with you guys? I was real tempted to write her a thank you note for her thank you note to see if I'd get a $5 bill out of the deal. But I didn't do that. But I do want to tell you this, and why I love young people, is over the course of 2 years, we received about $220 from this girl. And I called the mom after I got the $10 bill, because I figured if I'm a part of some theft, I don't want to have a part of this. And she said that's her babysitting money. She gets her money and she saves a couple dollars for things, but she just wants you to have that. And so we had the offering earlier. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. Children will give. Allison gave. And that's something I think we need to think about. I got this letter here from a little friend. Actually, it was on my stuffed under my door in the office. "I heart you, Little Galley." Of course, Galley is spelled wrong. We're not going to take off for that. "Best time. So, so fun. I love it. God is good." I get this letter here. "Dear Ken, I love Little Galley. It's the best. I went to camp. This is my second time this year going to camp. I can't wait to go to camp next year to do the giant swing." Now, I spell giant G-I-A-N-T, but I've been wrong. You spell giant G-A-N-I-T, swing. And the zip line. I spell zip line Z-I-P-L-I-N-E, but I was wrong. It's Z-I-P-E-L-I-N-E. I hope you raise enough money for the dining hall. I spell dining D-I-N-I-N-G, but it's D-I-N-N-I-N-G. Thank you for everything you've done. You do a good gob. I think she meant job. When a camper makes a decision for Christ and gets baptized, we send a thank you note to them. Not so much for their decision. We send them scriptures. We send them a baptism certificate. We send them a little devotional book to get them started on their Christian walk. And I got a thank you note from Ethan. Thank you for the note and the book. It's really helping me. I want to help a little galley, so I gave you some money. Thanks for everything. And in that note was six $1 bills. Be like a child. Give generously. Love tremendously. And then I got this note from a young man who now is in the Air Force. Wrote this after his last year at camp that he could come. I'd asked him to come work at camp. I didn't know he was going to go to the Air Force. And he said, "Dear Ken, helping and going to camp this summer has been very enjoyable. I've learned the power of having childlike faith, and I've observed the most powerful, touching moments at Little Galley. This Little Galley has really changed my life for the better. It's always so encouraging to see you out and about helping the campers go smoothly. I hope to be enlisted in the Air Force next year, but if God has other plans, I would love to work at the camp." And then she wrote specifically, "Little Galley provided a solid foundation for my relationship with the lovely Miss Rosie Coltrane, who is now his wife." And talked about the fact that how they met at camp and how they love camp. And I share these with you because young people are not afraid to show their emotions. And young people are very, very honest in their relationship with God. If you look at Matthew 18:3 again, Jesus said this. Just three words I want to focus in. Unless you change. Let's be honest, adults. Do we like change? I say not. I say we don't. I know whenever Jan and I come and visit a church, whether I'm speaking or just coming to worship, I know we are sitting in somebody's spot. And I bet you anything, if I came back to camp a year from now and you're here, you're going to be sitting right about the same spot. Because that's the way we are. We don't like change. And sometimes as adults, when the church does things a little bit different, they change the order of service, maybe put in carpets a different color, you know, we don't like that. Kids aren't like that. They're very, very flexible. Unless you change and become like a child. And I want to point out something. I think Jesus wants us to be childlike and not childish. I think some of us have the childish part down pretty good, but to be very, very childlike. Faith builds character, and the process starts when you're a child. Without faith, we can't please God. In fact, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him." There's a little book that was presented to me several years ago when I was a youth minister back in Mattoon, Children's Letters to God. And maybe you've seen it. It's tiny. It's my type of book. Okay? It's the actual kids writing. It's their little artwork they wrote in it, and they kind of compiled it. And these are just letters that kids have written to God. I want to share some of these to kind of show you where they're coming from and what they think about God. Jane writes this, "In school they told us what you do. Who does it when you're on vacation?" Allison, I'm sure it's not the same Allison that sent the money. "I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody down here will tell me." Now, if you have young children sitting next to you and if they ask you what begat means, you're welcome. All right. Anita, "Is it true my father won't get in heaven if he uses his bowling words in the house?" Darla, "Did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm really going to fix my brother." Joyce, "Thank you for the baby brother, but what I asked for was a puppy." Bruce, "Please send me a pony. I've never asked for anything before. You can look it up." This is one of my favorite. "It rained for our whole vacation. And boy, is my father mad. He said some things about you that people aren't supposed to say, but I hope you won't hurt him. Signed, your friend. I'm not going to tell you who I am. Denise writes this, if we come back as something, please don't let me be Jennifer Horton because I hate her guts. Raphael, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I'll give you anything you want except for my money and my chess set. I think sometimes that's our attitude. God, I'll give you anything you want except for this and except for that. And children are very, very, very honest. When I was in, you're just going to have to take this on faith value by looking at me. When I was younger and thinner, I used to be athletic. I used to be able to run fast. And in junior high, I won almost all the races I ran in. I was a sprinter, and I had the advantage of the long legs and stuff like that. And I was getting ready for a home track meet, and that track was cinder track. I tell you how old I am, and I'm all lined up ready to go. And there's an empty lane right next to me. And I figured, well, didn't know why. And all of a sudden, the coach from the other team came up holding the hand of one of the boys on the other team. And I looked at him, and I could tell by looking at him that he had Down syndrome. And here's what the coach said to him. Alvin, see this man over here with the black and white striped shirt? He has a gun. It's not a real gun. And when he shoots the gun, I want you to run as fast as you can. Straight down, you have to stay in the lines. And see down there where the string is? See our other coach down there? And the coach was down there doing one of these things. He said, you run until you get to the coach. Do you understand? Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, as a fast runner, this is embarrassing. Why even have him out here? So the guy says, runners to your mark. I got down. Alvin stood up. Get set. I get up in position. Alvin stood up. The gun went off. The only thing I saw of Alvin the entire race was his back. And he ran down, crossed the line, threw himself into the coach's arm, and I finished second. Well, I was humbled and I was embarrassed, but next thing you know, it's time for the 200. I look up. There's Alvin. There's his coach. See this man over here? He has a gun. It's not a real gun. And through coach down there, I figured, I'm going to get you this time. I'm going to get you this time. And I'll tell you, it was different this time. Because having run another 100 yards, he was even farther ahead of me. And I tell you this because Alvin did not have the mental capacity that maybe others in the track meet did, but he had the sense and the faith to listen to his coach. He did exactly what his coach said to do. And if you look at God as our coach, if we do what our coach says, we're not going to go wrong. But what happens in an arena of life, sometimes things happen. We lose our job. We lose our health. We lose a loved one. And that's a hurdle. And we don't know how to get over the hurdle. And sometimes we adults, we get cynical. And we get cynical, we start complaining. And we start grousing. When I was in Mattoon, we had a group of ladies. There were six of them. They got together for the sole purpose, and they met in our church library. Their sole purpose of their time was to get together to complain about what was going on in the church. And they met twice before we found out. We thought they were doing a Bible study. And all they were doing was just complaining because they were cynical ladies. Now, some of these ladies were youth sponsors in my youth program. Some of them were elders' wives. And when we found out what they were really doing, Bill and I was a youth minister. Bill was a senior minister. We walked in and said, ladies, if your purpose here is just to be critical, it's not a good thing. If you're here to pray, if you're here to offer solutions, feel free to meet. And they got up and they left. Now, does that mean they quit complaining? No, they just didn't meet in the church anymore. Okay? Because they were cynical. Because of different things that they perceived were wrong. So here's what I want to say to you. An adult is more likely to give up the race, get out of the track, get out away from the straight and narrow, than a child is. And as you're near the end of your life, can you look forward as a child and say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Because children don't have adult hurdles like we do. Childlike faith and childlike love are an open road to God's heart. So what qualities does a child have? I've already mentioned some of them. A child is loving and a child is innocent. I went to pick up a girl on a date once in high school. And those of you maybe my age or a little bit younger, there used to be this stuff. It was aftershave lotion, Brute. Do you remember Brute? Now, I didn't really have to shave, but, you know, it was a thing to do. You know, I had three hairs here, and I shaved. And in my thinking, as a high school junior, maybe a senior, if a little bit of Brute is good, then a whole lot is better. So I filled my, I had a lake here. And I show up, and I know it's going to be a shocker, but when I showed up at the house, the first date, and it turned out to be the last date, the mother said, she's not ready yet. And so I was invited in, sitting on the couch. I'm kind of nervous and uneasy, because all I wanted to do was go out with this girl. And her little sister came up, and she maybe was 5 or 6 years old. She came up and stood next to me. What's your name? Ken. Why are you here? I'm going to take your sister out. We're going to go out to eat, and we're going to see a movie. Oh, okay. And next thing I know, this little girl is sitting on my lap. And all of a sudden, she goes. And then she leans in, and she said this just as the girl's walking down the stairs. Two words. You stink. She was right. Even I could smell myself. And that's probably not why the date didn't work out, but it sure didn't help. But the child's very innocent. The child's very, very trusting. When the boys were young, I used to love to do, Jan didn't like it, but I would set them up on the dining room table. And I'm talking like when they're just walking age, you know, still wearing the diaper, the pamper stage, you know, type of get. And I would get them up there, and I would stand like 4 or 5 foot away from the table. And I'd say, jump. And when I'd say that, they would light up, and they'd start doing the Fred Flintstone running thing, and they would just run and launch themselves off the table. There's no way they could jump 4 or 5 feet. But as they jumped off 6 to 12 inches to a foot and a half, I'd come swooping in, and I'd catch them before they hit the ground, and I'd catch them. And they'd say the same thing over you. What would they say? Again. And I would do it again and again. And again, until Jan caught us. And then we had to quit. Now, you know why they kept saying again? Because they love their father, and their father never dropped them. If I would have been distracted just one time when Josh or Gabe took off the table and missed them, they never would have wanted to do that again. And what I'm saying to you is if you take the leap of faith that God wants, God is going to be there. And he's going to catch you. And he's going to protect you from harm. A child is not cynical. A child receives simple things with joy. When I was the speaker at Junior High 2 main camp, I wasn't the manager. It was canteen time. It was the 4th of July. And we could see fireworks way off in the distance in Moroa and even from Decatur and stuff like that. And I looked over. We had a young girl that came to camp. Her name is Kay. We called her KK because that's what she called herself. And she was in her early 30s, but she was a camper. And she had Down syndrome. And she was standing over by herself in front of the manager's house, which is now where Jan and I have lived since 1999. And the campers were so sweet to her. And she had the mental capacity probably of a 5 or 6 year old. She looked like a junior high girl. And she just went along with the program. She came to that camp for like 10 years in a row. But this particular night, she was standing over, and she was just rocking back and forth, just looking up like this. And it just got my curiosity. And so I walked over to her, and I'm looking to see what she's looking at. And she's going like this. Ooh. Ah. And Kay's about this tall. And I said, Kay, what are you doing? She says, I'm looking at the fireworks. They're beautiful. And so I got down on her level. And I looked, and what she was seeing was the security light behind the tree. But she knew it was the 4th of July. And just like regular fireworks. And so I sat there and I put my hand on her shoulder. We rocked back and forth. Ooh. Ah. Because she was childlike. And she was excited. And I went to First Christian Church in Champaign a couple weeks ago to worship. And she came in a wheelchair because she'd fallen on the ice and had messed up her ankle. And she saw me and just wanted a little hug. So I gave her a hug and she said, Mom, this is Ken. And of course, Mom knew who I was. And it's just that childlike faith that we need to have. Child is content in little things. They don't have to have big things all the time. There's another book that came out that's very, very small. Once again, right up my alley. Everything I needed to know in life, I learned in kindergarten. And I want to share this little part here. Robert Fulghum, the author, wrote this. Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at nursery school. These are the things that I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. In other words, all you really need to know how to live is to live like a child. And so my challenge to you as adults is to be more like a child and not to be childish. And if things need to change to bring more people into the church, be childlike and roll with the punches and roll with the flow. Jesus tells us we need to have this type of trust and faith in the Father because we are His children. Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 14, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Are you familiar why Jesus said that? Because Jesus was teaching and a little child came up. And the disciples were trying to push the child away. And Jesus said, oh, no, let him come here. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. God reminds us in His Word that we are indeed His children. In 1 John 3, chapter verse 1, it says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is it did not know Him. So here's my challenge for you. Here's my challenge for me. I want you to grow up, and I want you to act like a child. All right? Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful that You created us. We're so thankful that You love us, and we're thankful that we can be Your children. I pray that You help us to have the proper type of love, the proper type of faith, and the proper type of life that's going to bring people towards You. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for Your forgiveness. And thank You for the fact that You loved us so much that You're willing to send Your Son, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.